So last week, if you were here, I kind of started with it's a bit of a two-parter. So if you weren't here last week, feel encouraged to just maybe go and download it from our website and listen to the preach, because it will give you a bit of insight on what I'm continuing with today. And I started off and I said, there's this little quote that I found. I wrote it down many, many years ago, 25, 26 years ago. And it says this: I don't want to be where God used to be. I want to be where He is. I don't want to be where God used to be. I want to be where God is. I want to be where His presence is. And then we started looking at the word presence, and then in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48, verse 35, we see this. But the word presence in the Bible is, every time it's used in the Old and the New Testament, is literally in His face. Literally, that's what it means. In His face. So when, now it makes sense. And in this week, even the Lord said to me, so then when He says, seek my face, what does it mean? Are we in Jesus' face all the time? And having that intimate relationship with Him all the time. Then we started looking at His glory, and the word that is used in the Old Testament is kabod, K-A-B-O-D, kabod. And that means His glory, but it also means His glorious presence. So when He says that the glory has departed, basically what He means is that the presence has lifted. And what we want is God's presence all the time. We cannot do anything. We cannot minister. We cannot lead. We cannot be good husbands or wives without the presence of Jesus. We're dead in the water without Jesus in the boat. We need His presence. We need His glory. So we looked at a few things last week, and I don't want to go through all of that. And basically, how is God's glory revealed in this present evil age? And how much of our daily lives is really affected? And how much of our daily lives do we spend bringing glory to the Father? Today I want to look at a few things, and we want to continue with that word Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. That's what it says in Ezekiel 48:35. The Lord is there. Can you say in every situation of your life, the Lord is there? The Lord is there. He's in that situation right now. The Lord is in my finances. The Lord is in my marriage. The Lord is in whatever that blank is. So what is the basis for this incredible privilege that you and I have as children of God? That the glory of God can supernaturally be manifested in and through us. What is this basis? Why? Why do we have this? You see, God's not going to share His glory with us, but we can be conduits of that. Because what we do is, it's really easy. When we receive something, we give it back to Him all the time. You see, there's going to be a day where we will be glorified. That's that moment that we're going to be with Jesus forevermore. The moment we're going to look and see Him face to face. Right now, the Bible says in Corinthians that we prophesy and we see in part. We prophesy in part. We see as in a mirror dimly. We see a little bit of it. We taste moments of glory. Like John said, I've got goosebumps as I stand here. That's moments of His glory. Droplets of His glory that He actually deposits. Pockets of it. But there we will see it in its fullness. Right now, you and I, we cannot see the fullness of His glory. We will die. Moses, can I see your glory, God? He says, I can't show you everything. Come, let me hide you in the cliff of a rock. I'm going to pass you by. You're going to see my back. You're not going to see my face. You're not going to see. And then when Moses comes down, his face is shining. People are like, what has happened to you? He saw a little bit. Imagine that moment we're going to see him face to face. No wonder men and women have fallen down as if dead when they experience the glory of God. What is this basis? John 17, verse 22. The glory that you have given me, this is Jesus praying, talking to his father, the glory that you've given me, I have given them. In other words, what he says there is the presence of the Father that I have is that same presence that I am, that glorious presence that I give them. That they may be one even as we are one. Jesus is praying this high priestly prayer. It's one of the most beautiful prayers that he's praying. He says, God, Lord, that presence that we have, that union we have, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the triune God, that unity, may they have that because of me, because of you. God, will you be there in their midst that they be one? I pray that my church will be one, he says. Why? Because of presence. Because of his presence. You see, before Jesus departed, he prayed for his disciples to receive the glory he had received. So what is the significance then that this word, Jehovah Shema, or the God or the Lord is there, hold to Christians, to each one of us in this present age? What is the significance? Well, in one sense, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there, is a reality that God is always there, eternally. God is omnipresent. It's his promise to us. I will always be there. It's not like he's hiding and he's going away and, you know, and he's on a holiday or anything like that. He's there. I read a while back, I read the encounter that Elijah had with the prophets of Baal. Okay, 450 prophets of Baal. But there were other prophets as well. Prophets of Ashtaroth were also there. But the prophets of Baal, and then he says, okay, I tell you what, guys, let's do this. Let's build an altar for our gods. Okay, I'll build one to God, and you build to your gods. And the God that answers with fire is the God. He's the real God. So these guys, they keep on the whole day. I mean, it's this, I can just imagine. It's this, you know, it's this Mexican showdown. One of those, you know. It's just, they're busy packing this and they're praying, man. And at one point, the Bible says they cut themselves as were their custom. I mean, these oaks are like mutilating themselves so that their God can hear. And he's like, maybe you need to speak a little bit louder. Elijah is quite cocky on this thing. He says, maybe he's on the toilet and he can't hear you. Go read it again. It's exactly what it says. Maybe your God's on the toilet, relieving himself, and he can't hear you. Maybe you should speak a little bit louder. Then he says, okay, you guys done now. Okay, pour some water on this thing. Pour more water on this thing. And God comes, and he not only devour the offering that's on that altar, he devours the whole altar. Everything. That's the God. That's Jehovah Shema. The God that is there. He's there. Okay? He's always there. And he's always been there. And he has promised to never leave us, nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5 says this, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The original Greek means never ever. That's what it means in the original Greek. Never ever will I leave you. There's not a, yeah, maybe God will leave me. No, never ever. This is omnipresent. And yet, this new name, Jehovah Shema, that we see in the book of Ezekiel is, it unveils even a greater revelation of God in the future. God with us. When it's prophesied about Jesus, he's going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. Let's quickly turn in our Bibles to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 25, 28. Whom have I have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Similar to the scripture that Jurgen's just read. Very similar. What are you buying? You know, come and buy the stuff that's worth. This is for free. You know, what is there that I desire besides you? My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. See there again, if they're outside the presence, it's going to be a perishing. It's once we're in that presence, when we're in His face all the time, when we're experiencing the kabod, the glory of God that is continually resting upon us. That very thing that Jesus prayed about in John 17. Says, I desire that it's on them. My presence, my glorious presence. You see, let's quickly turn to, in that same chapter, verse 2. I'll show you something. Asaph is the guy that wrote this psalm. He says, but for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Who of you can say you felt like this before as a Christian? Who of you could say that you felt like that this week? That you slipped. Eh? This morning? Any takers? There's some truthful people. If you lied, you just slipped. Okay, I'm just saying. Just putting it out there. Still this morning, okay. Asaph is saying that. He says, but for me, my feet had almost stumbled. And I love that story. And I've told it probably like 50 times before, of Andrew Murray walking in the main road of Wellington. And at a point, he's stepping down a pavement and he's stumbling. And a policeman runs up to him and he says to him, Dr. Murray, are you okay? He says, yes. For a split second, I just felt the presence of God lift off my life. And walking like that, where you know that you just, there's this moment Lord, don't. Take not your Holy Spirit. Take not your glory and your presence away from me. I need you. You're the sustainer of my life. So he says this, he says, even when he came close to stumbling, but this is what he discovers in Psalm 73 verse 17. This is what he discovers until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned there. He says, until I came into the presence of God, where God dwells. This is the place, this is the presence. He says, I need that. Otherwise, my foot will stumble and I will fall. But I need you, Lord. This is a desire of his heart. Asaph came to desire nothing but God. The one who was the strength of his heart and whose nearness was his greatest good. You see, all that we desire is come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha. That's what we desire. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I want to ask you this morning, can you, like Asaph and like Mary, and we'll look at that just now, truly declare it is good to be near God? Can you declare it with your whole heart that you say it is good to be near God? It is good to be in His face, in His presence. It's good. If not, then you need to ponder these words of Jesus to Martha. Luke chapter 10 verse 42. But one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Not 100 other things. One thing, Mary. Mary has chosen the good portion. Or Martha. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. One thing, Martha. I'm asking you. One thing. You see, Mary understood, I need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha's in the kitchen. Martha is the worker. She's the deacon. She's the one that's working. I've got to get the coffee out. I've got to do all these things. Mary chose the better portion. She sits at the feet of Jesus and she's pouring out perfume that cost her a year's wage. She's cracking that bottle on his feet and anointing his feet with her tears and crying. And there's a room full of men. She's not even allowed to be there. It's a room full of men with one woman in there. She sits there because she wants to be close to Jesus. And everybody is most probably murmuring, she should have sold that bottle of perfume. It could have fed hundreds of people. Jesus tells them all, you have no idea what she's busy doing. One thing, my presence. That's all she's desiring. Martha, come out of the kitchen. You see, two things I want to say to you today is this. Two things you need to remember. You need to make a conscious decision of your will. And that will is enabled by Philippians chapter 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work with His for His good pleasure. You see, it's God. But you need to be enabled by this morning and say, God, I desire nothing else but you. To choose the good part. To choose the presence. To choose that I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. But you don't understand, Stefan, I'm a busy person. Life goes on. I have little kids and it's just my two hands and it's just this and it's just that. And I've got a very, very successful business. And you know what, Stefan? I don't know. You know what? You cannot afford to not be in His presence when you have all that stuff. Because where did it come from anyway? Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west except from God. So that promotion that you received, that bonus you received, where did it come from? Not from your boss. It came from Jesus because He is a good Father. The more you seek Him, the more you'll find Him. The more you find Him, the more you want to be in His presence. It's this thing. The more you see of Jesus, the more you just want to sit at His feet and meditate on His beauty. You need to choose the good part. Let's quickly look at Psalm 84, verse 10 and 11. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly, the righteous. In His presence. Can you see? As if saying in Psalm 73, until I've gone to the sanctuary, I need to be in His presence. The second thing is, so choose the good part. Choose His presence. And then we need to stop striving. Be still. Sometimes we just need to pull up the handbrake. Our lives get so busy. It's like a freight train that is just storming down towards this wall. Your whole life is just about everything that is just, you're caught up in this moment and it's just snowball effect in your life. And nothing is stopping it. Somewhere we need to be still. Somewhere we need to stop. Somewhere we need to say, God, is any of this worth it? Is all the work in the kitchen worth it, Martha? Yes, I'm sure it is. But Jesus says, you know what, Mary? She's chosen the better portion. She's chosen my presence. We need to be still. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. Says this. Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Come on, Jesus. And I told Mary to, she's a lazy bum. She's just sitting at your feet and, you know, wasting time, you know. Come on, tell her to come to the kitchen and, you know, get the scones out. Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. And intimately know that I am God. We need to come and sit at His feet. And the nearness of Jehovah Shema will be your good. Luke 10:39, quickly. And He said, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. We need to be in the presence of Jehovah Shema. Better is one day in your courts. What are some of the promises that Paul even tells us that relate to Jehovah Shema, and how do they relate really in our daily walk? Let's quickly turn to our Bibles in 2 Corinthians from chapter 6, verse 16 to 18, and then chapter 7, verse 1. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? He's kind of asking the presence with this world. What of the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God. You see, that's Him promising. This is the promise that God made. He will walk and be with us. He will be Emmanuel. He will be there in our midst. And they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you. And look at this promises that He's making. And you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Verse chapter 7, just the next verse. Since we have these promises, it's pointing back now to those last three verses. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us then cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. He's saying, come out from the kitchen. Come out from the world. From the things that are keeping you so busy that you're missing the good portion. The better portion. You're so busy with life and life is so happening right now. You're missing out. Just come sit at my feet. Believe me, I have made all the excuses why I shouldn't be sitting here. Once you've tasted like Mary has tasted. I didn't even know if Mary even properly understood the prophetic action that she did, you know, breaking the perfume. What she's done, everybody will tell her, talk about. Why? Because she's chosen the better portion. Come out. Come out from that situation. Come out from that thing that you're caught up in. Come out from that relationship you are in that's killing you. Jesus said this. He says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know what that means? It's two yokes that would put oxen in the same yoke, but you have to put the strongest two oxen in the same yoke. If you have one that's weaker than the other, it will kill the other one. The one will start pulling stronger or weaker. I always say it's easier to pull something off a table than to pull something onto a table. I promise you that if you mix yourself with those things, it will pull you down. Christian, if you just became a young Christian, two things are going to happen. I can tell you that right now. I didn't even prophesy it. I can tell you that right now. I've been around for a long time. So this guy, this girl, they give their lives to Jesus. What's the first thing that happens? A new guy or a new girl comes onto the scene and takes him away from the church. Or a new job, a lovely job offer, but you have to move to Johannesburg. You know, you have to have the golden bangles. And you don't slot in with the church there at all. It's usually like that, I promise you. Because Satan knows you. He will lure you away with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He will lure you away. Because he doesn't want you to be in the presence of Jesus. He'll lure you to the kitchen. He says, come work in the kitchen. Come work, come make the scones and the tea. Jesus is thirsty. Give him something to drink. Make him something nice. Jesus, tell him, man, this, Glenda, come help me. Come, Mary. Mary's just sitting there drenched and just broken and pouring out perfume. Imagine what that place must have smelled like. Of perfume hanging. Just imagine. God promised to dwell with us, to walk amongst us, to be our God and our Father, and we will be His people, His sons, His daughters. But truth always demands a response. Always. Truth will always demand a response from us. And these incredible truths should give us a godly and a reverential fear, which motivates us to cleanse ourselves, within and without, our hearts and our hands. Who will approach the Lord and climb up His hill? Clean hands, pure hearts. Everything that we do in our inside and outside. Progressively becoming more holy and thus more like Jesus Christ. In ending Zephaniah chapter 3:17, we get that up. The Lord your God is in your midst. Oh, what a promise. A mighty one who will save. He will dance over you, rejoice over you. In actual fact, that word there means to do pirouettes. Let me just get my equilibrium there. I just turn myself a little drunk there. That's what it means. God is exalting of you. He's dancing of you. He's doing pirouettes over your life. He cannot wait for you to wake up. He's sitting next to your bed and he's like, I'm waiting for you. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. I want to have fellowship with you this morning. So Jesus is saying to us, all we do is we wake up and go, good Lord, it's morning. Instead we should say, good morning, Lord. You know, good morning, Lord. But he's like, oh, good Lord, it's morning. Because we watch rugby till 12:30. Booker one. Yeah. Although this was written to Israel and ultimately to be fulfilled, ultimately that the Lord is there, it is applicable and it's a principle to all believers in this present age. Let the fact that God, the Lord, is here in your midst stimulate and motivate us to live for the greater day that the Lord is there forever and ever and ever. Turn with me to you in your Bibles. I didn't ask Louise to put it up. Psalm 23. I want to show you God in His fullness in Psalm 23. And then we're going to pray. Psalm 23. I want to quickly read it. You all know it. Some of you can quote it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall not want. God's name is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. I'm going to show you God's names in this chapter. Jehovah Jireh, I shall not want. Because God, You provide for me. Jehovah Shalom, What does that mean? God is my peace. He leads me besides still waters. God is a God that leads me into peace. If you are in a troubled place, the Lord is leading you right now beside still waters. He is your Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Rapha, what does that mean? He is our healer. He restores my soul. God comes and He comes and He heals my emotions, my mind, and my will. He comes and He restores my soul. He's my healer. So this morning you can call upon Him and say, Jesus, You're my healer. God, my healer. Jehovah Chikunu, the Lord our righteousness. In other words, He leads us in paths of righteousness. Jehovah Shema. Did you see it there? You are with me. The Lord is there. You are with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, You are with me. The Lord is there. The Lord is there in your situation right now. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. You are, there's a presence of my enemies. You're my banner. In the midst of my enemies, You're my banner over me. And the last one is Jehovah Mikadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. He anoints my head with oil. It's so beautiful if we see God in all the scriptures. And I want you to pray this morning. I want you to make these statements in your life maybe. I've written down a few. But I want you to say that God is there. He is here. He is everywhere. When you feel alone, God is there. He is here. He is everywhere. When your boyfriend or your girlfriend breaks up with you, God is there. He is here. He is everywhere. When you get bad news from the doctor, God is there. He is here. He is everywhere. When your child makes bad decisions, God is there. He is here. He is everywhere. When you wonder why you hurt so bad, why your heart is broken, God is there. He is here. He is everywhere. When you feel like hurting yourself, God is there. God is here. He is everywhere. When you're tempted to do something wrong, God is there. God is here. He is everywhere. When you make a mistake, God is there. When you can't pay bills, God is there. He's here. He's everywhere. And when you are afraid of the future, God is there. He's here. He's everywhere. Jehovah Shammah.